For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bibles, turn to John's Gospel, chapter 12 today. John's Gospel, chapter 12. I love the Gospel of John. 99 times at least, the word believe is used in the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus is seen and presented as the Son of God. There's no genealogy because God had no beginning and He'll have no ending. And John was the apostle whom Jesus loved. He wrote the Gospel that bears his name. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then, of course, God gave him the great book of Revelation. And they're all great. They're all inspired and preserved of God. John chapter 12, I want to begin reading today. I want to read a few verses, so bear with me till we get to our text. But look in verse 23, and John chapter 12 and verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come." He used that phrase often. He would say, "Mine hour is not yet come." What he meant was his time to die on the cross, his passion time had not come yet. But now it was coming, and it was very near. And in John chapter 12, verse 23, Jesus said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now, only in Christendom, only among God's people, would someone die that we'd have victory. I mean, that's the way God works. Through weakness, we find strength. Through surrender, we find victory. Through death, we overcome, through His death. And so it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," verse 24, "except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." Look in verse 24. "But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled." You can only imagine. "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." The Lord would move from speaking to others to speaking to His Heavenly Father to speaking to others. I'd like to have that kind of fellowship with God, wouldn't you? And He says here in verse 27, "Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this world. Father, glorify Thy name." Then there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people, therefore, that stood by heard it, said that it thundered. Verse 29. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." What is Christmas about? It's about Him. It's all about Him. He came in a cradle to bear a crown, to go to the cross to bear a crown that we might have victory and go to heaven one day. This He said, verse 33, signifying what death He should die. He would not die from stoning. He would not die from a fall from the temple like Satan tried to get Him to do. But He would die on a cross. The people answered Him, verse 34, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you." Verse 35, "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light." While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. And verse 36, He said, "These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide Himself from them. But though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him." Notice verse 35 and 36. "Walk while you have the light." And verse 36, "While you have light, believe in the light." that you may be the children of light. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd add your blessing and unction and anointing upon this message today. I pray that you'd help me. Help me to be simple. Help me to be spirit-filled. And Lord, may the Savior be seen in the message today. I pray, Lord, as we try to present you, I pray that you'd come forth through your Spirit, through your Word, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been studying on Wednesday night the glory story, the greatest life ever lived. And the last few weeks we've been looking at the I am statements of the Lord, the seven, eight last sayings of the Savior, or not the last sayings, but his I am statements. We've looked in John 6 where Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And last Wednesday we looked at John 8 where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, they bring a woman taken in adultery to Jesus. They bring her, they caught her in the very act. They drag her up there before Jesus, throw her down on the ground, and just talk about her like she's a dog. And of course, she was guilty, and she was a sinner. You remember the story, and they brought her up there, but they didn't really care about her. They brought her there to try to entrap Jesus, to get him to say something that they might prosecute him. And they didn't care about the woman. Jesus didn't say anything. He knelt down there. They said, Lord, you know what Moses said, and you know what the law says. What do you say we should do with this woman? I think they said, we should stone her, don't you think? And Jesus just knelt down there. Doesn't say what he said. The Bible says he just drew in the sand there in the ground. And I heard a preacher say one time what he thought Jesus wrote on the ground, that Jesus may have written, where's the man? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? Where's the man? You have the woman here taken in the very act. Where's the man? If you're so concerned about obeying the letter of the law. Well, they weren't concerned about that. And Jesus said, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. The accuser would cast the first stone. And the Bible says they one by one walked away until he was there with her alone. Not alone alone, but they were in a public place, I'm sure, but there alone. And she gave her heart to Christ, and he told her to go and sin no more. But then right after that, he brings the message, I am the light of the world. Oftentimes Jesus would do that. He'd either give the principle, and then he'd give a sermon, or he'd give an illustration, then he'd give a sermon. And that's what he did in John chapter 8. He said, I'm the light of the world. And what they just saw happen is exactly what he said. You know, when you put light out there, it dispels darkness. And that is exactly what had happened. All those Pharisees, all those old proud Pharisees, they all went scurrying away when the light came on. Just like a rat, just like bugs, just like roaches. You flip the light on, they all head for darkness. That's what those Pharisees did there. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Boy, how this dark world needs the light. Then he said, you're the light. We're in charge of the shining. We're in charge of letting our lamps be clean so that the light can shine out to this lost and dying dark world. But I got to thinking this week about this passage in John chapter 12. Jesus said in John 8, I'm the light of the world, verse 12. Over in John chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 1, he opens this great book. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light of men. In the right time, just in time, he came, didn't he? And the light shineth in darkness, John 1:5, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Aren't you glad for that? I believe that God believes in every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every teenager, every person, salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other heaven, none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. If we must be saved, we can be saved. And so it says in John chapter 1 verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But thank God, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we come to John chapter 12. As we read John chapter 12, we're reading about the final words of the Lord Jesus to his countrymen, the people of Israel. These are his final public words. This is his parting shot, if you will. And as he often did, as I said, he gave a sermon to develop a truth. He would give a principle, then he would follow the principle with a visible lesson. And that's exactly what he did here. He said, yet a little while is the light with you, verse 35. Walk while you have the light. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. And as soon as he said that, it says, these things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Now, I don't know if he did what he did in other times, if he just disappeared and reappeared somewhere else, or if he just stepped out into the darkness, or what he did. But what he did was give a visible illustration of what he was just saying. He said, while you have me, trust me. While I'm here, believe in me. He said, I'm getting ready to leave. And as soon as he made that statement, it says he departed and hid himself from them. Sometimes people say, well, I just can't understand the Bible. That's pretty simple there, isn't it? Our Lord was, he was the Son of God, the master teacher, the great preacher, the greatest life ever lived. He was God the Son, God in human flesh. But how simple is salvation? And so we read his final words here. It says he did hide himself from them. I think he stepped out and he allowed the truth to sink in. That's what he was doing. He was allowing the truth to sink in. Where'd he go? Oh, okay, I see what he meant now. I want to give you three great truths. Not alliterative. Not any earth, but they are earth-shaking truths. Can I give them to you? Number one, today as we read this passage, I want you to know there's a time allotted for us, given to us by God. All of us have a time allotted to us, given to us by God. We all have a time. Some call it the dash. You've read that little poem about the dash. We're reminded of that every time we visit the cemetery and we see a person's birth and a person's passing. We're reminded of that. Some have shorter dashes. I have a little brother in heaven that lived 10 days on this earth. He touched a lot of lives while he was here for 10 days. I have another brother in heaven that lived 62 years. Went to heaven. Pretty young. I'm simply saying we all have a time allotted to us. We all have loved ones in heaven. We all have friends in heaven. And I pray that we're all going to go to heaven. And Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. That's phenomenal what he says there. I don't know that they grasped it all very well, but he was speaking to his fellow Jews as he faced the coming cross. I think of Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 where it says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Savior, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, Titus chapter 2. But he says this, he said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. How did it appear? It appeared in Jesus. That grace appeared in Jesus. He came. He was speaking to his fellow Jews, and he was saying, I'm here a little while. I'm here for just a time. You better make use of that time. Make the most of that time. Redeem the time, for the days are evil, the Bible says. James 4 and verse 14, it says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Paul said today, if you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. I think of Felix, Governor Felix in Acts chapter 24 in Caesarea. We heard about Caesarea in Sunday school. Brother Willis was talking about visiting there. But in Acts chapter 24, Paul was a prisoner and was taken before Felix, the governor. Claudius Silas had gained favor with him, and he had taken him, even though he was under arrest, he took him to Felix, and he said, look, I can't find anything wrong. I can't find one reason that we should put this man to death. He should not even be standing trial. He's not done anything wrong. It says in Acts chapter 24 and verse 24, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And it says, as Paul reasoned of temperance, as Paul reasoned of judgment to come, Felix trembled. I like that. I don't think you have to tremble to get saved. I don't think trembling means necessarily you have to tremble to show your conviction. I don't think you have to weep to show conviction, but I don't mind seeing it when it's there. And listen, if God squeezes your heart today, don't you be ashamed of the tears that God gives you. Don't be ashamed of what God does in your heart. Today, if you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. And as Paul gave the gospel to this man of some means and influence named Felix, Felix trembled. He trembled. I didn't tremble when I got saved, but I'll tell you, I dead sure was under conviction. I had a good friend that told me about Jesus, and the best friend you've got in this world is the friend that'll tell you about Jesus. Felix trembled. What did he say? He answered and said, go thy way for this season. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. He said, when I have a convenient season. Listen, that was his convenient season. That's when he should have gotten saved. That's the allotted time. I'm not saying there's only one space and one time that you can get saved in life, but I'll tell you, I will say this, when God's dealing with you, you'd better answer God's calling. God doesn't have to give you a second call. I'm glad that he does, but he doesn't have to. Today, if you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. Listen, Felix trembled, and he said like many, he sent him away, he left. And that's what a lot of times people do. They get under conviction, and they walk out of it. They can't wait to get out of a church service. They can't wait to get their mind off heaven and hell. They can't wait to get their mind off this matter of eternity, of facing God one day. I've seen sinners do all kinds of things when they're under conviction. I knew a fellow over in Newton, West Virginia years ago, Melvin Martin. He's in heaven today. He and his wife both are in heaven. Melvin said, I went to church. I was so under conviction during revival meeting. He said, I went to church at Newton Baptist Church, and Brother Oscar Shepherd was preaching. Brother Shepherd was an old-time preacher, man. I mean an old-time preacher, man, old-time Baptist preacher. Brother Shepherd was preaching. He said, I was so under conviction, I hated that preacher. And he said, I went to church to whip the preacher. And he said, I went there to whip him. And he said, God whipped me, and I got saved. Amen. Listen, if you want to whip me today, it wouldn't be a hard thing to do. But if it would mean that you'd get saved, I'd take a licking to see you get saved. By the way, Jesus took a licking. He went further than that. He died on the cross for your sins. Felix trembled, and he said, when I have a convenient season. Salvation is not a convenient season. Salvation is grace that God extends. The free gift of heaven is the Son of God dying on the cross for your sins. You don't just put God off when he speaks to you. Felix trembled, no doubt about it. He was under conviction, And what was it that Paul did? Paul said he reasoned of him of righteousness. He reasoned with him of temperance. He reasoned with him of judgment to come. People need to hear that today. There's a time allotted for us, given to us by God. Number two, let me give you this truth. Don't squander your opportunity. Don't squander it. John chapter 12, look back at the text. Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. Walk while you have the light. Walk while you have the light. I think of people that have come to church and you say, preacher, why is it important that I be right with God? I'm just one of a few hundred people. Why is it important? Because when sinners come to the house of God, when people come, I don't want them to sit and never feel the touch and the unction and the moving of God. They need to know that this is a holy place and that God's work is being done. It is important that we come praying. It's important that we come right with God. Don't squander your opportunity. Look in verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light. It's pretty simple, isn't it? That you may be the children of light. I saw an opportunity to get saved probably many times. I just didn't understand it. I just didn't understand it. It scared me. Church scared me. But I saw Christianity in some good friends of mine. I saw it when I was at Herbert Hoover High School. And I'm telling you, you can live for God in a public high school. You can live for God in a Christian school. You can live for God as a homeschooler. You can live for God in a college environment. You can live for God in the military. You can live for God at the plant. But I saw Christ in these young people. And I realized, while I had the light, I was going to believe in the light. I didn't understand it all, but when I came confronted with my sin, and you did too, and saw Christ as the answer, I accepted Him. Don't squander your opportunity. While you have light, believe in the light. While you have light. Jesus said, I'm the door. You know, we can look at a door, but we can see others go through the door. We can others see others come through in the door. We can see others prop the door open. We can see that no doubt it's a door. It has hinges. And through that door is access to somewhere. Christ said, I'm the door. By me, if you'll come in and out, you can find rest. Through the door of Jesus, you can go to heaven. Don't squander your opportunity. While you have the light, believe in the light. That's why it's important. I know a lot of preachers probably criticize winning children to Christ. They say you're plucking green fruit. I'm telling you, you better pluck the fruit while you can. Especially these days. While you have the light, believe in the light. Let me give you four thoughts today about the light. First of all, appreciate the light. Have you ever been in a situation where when the power goes off, you're not prepared for a power outage, you appreciate the light, don't you? I mean, whether it's off 30 minutes or 30 hours or 30 days, you appreciate the light and all that goes with it. Growing up, we used to go spelunking. Anybody ever go caving? We used to go caving. I was about 40 pounds lighter then. And another little guy and me, Tim, Judy, we'd go ahead. We'd find places to go, crawl through these cracks. There were times I felt the mountain on my back and I thought, you know, if this mountain shifts a little bit, I'm just going to be a greasy spot here on this rock. But you know, as a young person, I didn't think a lot about that. But we'd get back in there. If you've ever been in a coal mine or someplace like that, when you turn off all the light, when you relinquish the light, you can't see your hand in front of your face. I often think about that when I think of hell. How the darkness of the damned, and I think of the awfulness of hell and how that hell is going to be a place of darkness and we who have the light ought to walk in the light. We ought to appreciate the light while we have this light. We're never prepared for a power outage. I think of light, you know, man really cannot define light. I looked up some definitions of light today, and they were really weak. We really can't define light. Some say light's the absence of darkness. Some say darkness is the absence of light. Well, what is light? God is light. Jesus said, I am the light. Man can't define it, but man can recognize it, and man can know when it's not there. And I'm telling you, we need the light in America more than ever. We need the light of God, the light of the Bible, the light of Jesus. We need to appreciate the light. And then secondly, we need to appropriate the light. You use it or lose it. You can turn it on or turn it off. But we need to appropriate the light. We talked about the unction of the Spirit in Sunday school, the filling of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit. You say, what is a successful church? We hear today of great churches that are more like corporate entities. They have great offerings. They have great buildings. They have great programs. They have a lot of people. Things are happening. But where is the unction? Where's the power of the Spirit of God? Without the unction of God, the church won't function. Oh, we need His anointing. We need His filling. We need to appropriate the light. We need to appreciate the light. And then I like this. We need to accentuate the light. Accentuate means to make it more noticeable or prominent. That's where you come in. Ye are the light. We're the light as we go out of here of Jesus. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The light had gone off in Israel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, Hannah had prayed for a son. And she said, if you'll give me a son, dear God, I'll lend him to you as long as he lives. His name was Samuel. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious. It was rare in those days. There was no open vision. It came to pass at that time when Eli, the Bible says, was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, the lamp of God went out, the light went out, where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. And it says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. You know, we need some young Samuels. We need some young Samuels that will say, Lord, here am I. Send me. The light is barely flickering in America today. Walk while you have the light. Walk while you have the light. The Bible says that the lamp of God had gone out in the temple of God. And God saw a godly mother named Hannah that was praying over this little boy that lent him to God. And he became a great prophet, and priest and judge for God. She made him a little mantle. Listen, don't criticize mothers that are trying to raise preacher boys. Don't criticize them. I mean, look, your Johnny might play Major League Baseball, but God may not want him to preach, but we're trying to raise godly kids, whether they're playing baseball, whether they're preachers. Help them to find the will of God. Teach them the things of God, and they'll be an influence wherever God puts them. We need to accentuate the light. The lamp of God had gone out in the temple of God. Hey, we need to keep the light on. Keep the lights on. A few years ago, Rick Anderson, about a year, 2 years ago, he changed all the lights in here, went to whatever they are, LEDs. I don't understand it, but I appreciate it. I know that when I came in, after, I didn't say anything because I know how Baptists are. I thought, man, I'll never get used to this. I had a headache first couple of services, seriously, after I'd been in church. And but you know what? After a while, I learned to appreciate these lights. They're brighter. They're lighter. Why shouldn't the people of the light be able to see when they're meeting? Amen. Accentuate the light. Appreciate the light. Appropriate the light. The lamp of God is going out in churches everywhere. But it all begins with God. We need to, first of all, accept the light. Number four, we need to accept the light. accept him. He said, walk in the light while you have the light. Personally, we need to accept him. Our families, let's lead our families to accept him. As churches, we need to accept the light. As a nation, again, we need to accept the light. Don't squander your opportunity. Don't squander it. There's a time allotted for us, given to us by God. And then number three, this is important, walk in the light that you have. I thought a lot about that. I want to make sure that was scripturally right. Walk in the light that you do have. Now let that sink in a little bit. Walk in the light that you do have. What Jesus said this in verse 36, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. Walk in the light that you have. To whom much is given, the Bible says, much is required. I think God requires much of America. America is not walking in the light that we have. We're not walking in the light. We're not walking in the faith of our fathers. Someone said, evil triumphs when good men do nothing. We need to walk in the light that we have. God has no grandchildren, we know that. But we still need to walk in the light of our grandfathers, our grandmothers, our mothers, our fathers. We need to walk in the light as they've led our families. They've led you to church. They've led you in the things of God. They've led you in family altar. You've heard them pray. You've seen them read their Bible. Walk in the light that you have. America has a rich history of faith, and we're not walking in it. I said Wednesday night, America's not at a crossroads. We've already made it to the crossroads. We've already gone left. God help us. I'm telling you, folks, God help us. God help us. We'd better walk in the light that we have. We'd better appreciate and accentuate the light while we have the light. Young people, learn all the scripture you can learn. Because when you get 67 years old, it's a little harder to learn the scripture. But you can still do it. Get all you can and can all you get, somebody said. Your children must be born again. It's more time and influence it takes, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Make sure your home is lit up. Make sure your home is lit up. Our children are walking in the light that we're providing through our faith. Now, they don't get saved. They're not saved because we're saved, but they're more apt to be saved. That's why it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. When the Philippian jailer got saved, he got saved and he went and got his family and they all got saved and they all got baptized. They were all rejoicing and they were part of the First Baptist Church in Philippi. Our children are walking in the light that we're providing through our faith. Our example. Our explanation of the things of God, our enthusiasm, all are connected. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, look, I beseech you, be an example. What kind of example are we? Not only our example, but our explanation. Our children need to hear from us how we got here. It's really up to us to teach it. It's up to us to make sure our children understand it. It's up to us. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the schools. But the schools are not going to teach that. The schools are not going to teach that. But our explanation, how we got here. In the beginning, God. Our explanation about the home. How that the home is a man and a woman. And how that God defined the home. God originated the home. Our explanation of who Jesus is. Our explanation about prayer. And then our enthusiasm about all of that. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Be enthused about it. Be enthused. I mean, you may come out the door this morning and you say, man, I thought I had a Bible. I thought I had a Bible. Had the Reader's Digest or something, but, you know. I thought we were up at Matt and Amy's here a while back. No, they were here. We were there a while back, but while they were here, I came in our little foyer there. I said to Amy, I said, man, there's a whole lot more shoes around here. She said, yeah, there's at least 12 here. Amen. Amen. We have influence. And train up a child. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. I mean, look, you think, headed out, you got six pairs of shoes you got to keep up with. You've got yours on. So that's five pairs. And then you're headed out the door and you know, you think everybody's got their shoes, everybody's got their coat. And they come and, you know, they may have a Twinkie they're holding on to and some soured milk and you're all over the road and you're, you know, trying to curl the hair and you're, you know, everything's wobbly and messed up, but you get to church. You get to church. It ain't perfect. It doesn't look perfect, but you make it. You don't feel good. Your left leg had to beg the right leg to get out of bed. Your belly's growling. You got in a fight coming to church. Don't you see the devil, how the devil's fighting you and all that? Why not take an hour on Saturday night? Let me just pull over here. Why not take an hour on Saturday night? I'm sure you all do this. And just say, all right, this is what I'm going to wear tomorrow. I'm going to set this out. And really, fellas, if we do it on Saturday night, probably our socks will match if we take a little time, you know. I'm going to wear these shoes. Here's my tithe. I'm going to write out my tithe. Here's the Bible I'm going to use. I've got a few other checklists I'm not going to mention. You know. Is Mr. Ruger coming or is Mr. Smith and Wesson coming today? You know. And we have all these things laid out. All right, honey, you know, this dress you're going to wear, this is what Junior is going to wear. Just lay it all out. It would sure, and just decide, hey, we're going to have scrambled eggs tomorrow. No complaining. This is what we're going to have. Why not be organized about it? Instead of just getting up and just flailing through it and half mad when you get to church. No wonder we don't have good image. I'm just kidding. Our enthusiasm, our example, our explanation, our enthusiasm. Train up a child. Walk in the light that you have, but keep growing in grace. You say, preacher, I don't understand. I don't understand all these things. I don't understand about, you say, I'm lost today, but I don't understand it all. What did Jesus say to a Sanhedrin Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews? How did he describe salvation? He said, you have to be born again. You say, well, I don't understand it all. Jesus said, you have to be born again. You have to be born from above. How simple is that? Walk in the light that you have. Hey, when I got saved in February of 1972, when I walked down the aisle of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, went into the pastor's office, Eddie Goddard led me to Christ, I could not have named you one book of the Bible. I couldn't have quoted one scripture. I mean, I could have known less. I could not have known less of the Bible. All I knew, I walked in the light that I had. I knew that I was a lost sinner. No one had to convince me of my sin. I was a hell-bound sinner. And I believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that He rose from the dead. And bless God, He could save me. If I'd call on Him, and think of this, I did call on Him, and He did save me. I walked in the light that I had. You say, well, I think you ought to know. Hey, if you know that, you can be saved today. Walk in the light that you have. Preacher, I just don't understand. I don't understand propitiation. Well, I don't either. Come get saved. You said, I knew a man one time that wouldn't get saved, but he had a godly mother. And he said, I'll tell you one thing. When I do get saved, he said, I'll be saved forever because mama told me that. Thank God for mamas that tell their kids Bible truth. Walk in the light that you have as a Christian. If you don't walk in the light that you do have, you'll never grow. That's why Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You say, preacher, I don't understand all the prophecies. That's all right. That's all right. You've got to start somewhere. Walk in the light that you'd have. You say, I'm saved, but I don't understand all the prophecies. Just know this, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and he's going to take us out of this mess. That's good eschatology. Until you can figure out the difference between premillennial and amillennial and mid-trib and pre-trib and all of that, just know this, Jesus is coming, and he's going to take care of all of it. You say, preacher, I walk in the light that you do have. There's a lot of people who don't know that. You're ahead of them. You say, I'm a Christian. I don't understand the doctrines of the Bible. I don't understand bibliology. Then just say this, I believe the Bible. You say, I don't understand hamartiology, the sinfulness of man. Well, I do understand I'm a sinner and all have sinned. That's walk in the light that you have. You say, I don't understand the Trinity. I don't understand theology and Christology and pneumatology. Then know this, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in your heart. If you're saved, the Spirit of God came to indwell you. Just know that. Walk in the light that you have until you can get more light. You say, preacher, I don't understand chronology. That's why we have Mike Williams. Mike Williams, he'll take you through his timeline. He'll teach all that to you. That's not a strong point with me, but I'll tell you what, I know God's always on time. I know from Genesis to Revelation, it's always on. I know 1,500 years, 40 authors, God put it all together. I know Job's the oldest book of the Bible. I know Revelation was one of the earlier, latest books of the Bible. Walk in the light you have. Tell people about Jesus. Walk in the light that you do have. If you're not saved today, know this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't go to heaven on your own. Know this. There's a penalty on your sin. The wages of sin is death. Not only physical death, but spiritual death. Know this. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Know that. Know that. You say, I don't know a whole lot. Well, know this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus died for sinners. We're sinners. And 3 days later, he got up out of the grave and walked this earth for 40 days. One little boy over at the Good News Club said that the other day. Said, Jesus got up. He walked the earth for 40 days. I thought, well, praise God. Here's a 7-year-old boy knew that. Then he said he went to heaven. Amen. Walk in the light that you do have. Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. We have a great responsibility, don't we, to walk as children of light. John would later say in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that great? We have an allotted time. Let's not squander that time. And let's walk in the light that we do have. Don't become discouraged. There's always going to be somebody that knows more than you know. That's all right. There's always going to be something that you're studying that you're maybe not the clearest on. That's all right. That's all right. Walk in the light that you do have. Walk in the light while you have the light. I think of this too. I think of Ecclesiastes 12 where the Bible says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Solomon said, while you have strong hands and arms, while your eyes are clear, while your teeth are still good, and I think of this, while I still have a mind, I want to walk in the light that I have. I want to walk in the light that I have. While I have the light, I want to walk in the light. Let's walk in the light. Let's be, Paul said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. In other words, black, white. Jesus, the world. I'm going with Him. Walk in the light. Walk in the light that you do have. And you know what? God will give you more light. He'll give you more light.